welcome to your go-to podcast for making the most of your second chance after a conviction, inspiring you to navigate the challenges associated with having a criminal record. I'm your host, Dion, and this is Uncensored Inspiration. Welcome back to Uncensored Inspiration, your go-to podcast where you can think boldly and speak freely. Welcome our next guest, Ivory Tompkins. Yeah. Now, I know that you have an organization, Mothers with Sons, but I want you to give us your bio. Tell us about you, friend.
Okay. Well, I myself am a mother, okay? But even before I became a mother, okay, I was a young lady with a strong passion toward people, okay? So I am a people's person. I'm always trying to find some kind of way where I can connect with people, where I can help people, and sometimes where I can benefit from people.
Absolutely.
So I am definitely a people's person. I have two biological children, Bobby and Jennifer, and then I have two bonus daughters, Norsha and Jessica.
Yeah. Two things. Hi, Bobby and Jennifer. Second of all, the fact that you just said bonus daughters, and yeah. I know that that's not part of our conversation, right. But right here, my heart is beaming. Yeah. I had a conversation with another person earlier about stepchildren.
Yeah.
And I like the word bonus because it is an enhancement to your life. And the other person kept saying, it's a stepchild. Yeah. It's only a bonus if the person can give you something back. And I said, this person's heart. Yeah. Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to work with you, but I know that there is a mission here. Yeah. So for the fact that you accept those children in your life as a bonus is such a beautiful thing to hear. So excuse me for buttoning because the producer told me that I cut my guests off, but I had the sidebar on that right there. That's a beautiful sentiment, and please continue your story.
Yeah, you know, and just to add, the bonus daughters is only because so many times they will come to my defense, you know, when situation, you know, don't worry about that. It's going to be okay. So they are definitely a bonus. In my life, they really are.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, and then I have also, I have three grandsons. Oh, have four grandsons.
I was gonna say, don't forget nobody.
Four grandsons and one granddaughter.
Okay,
and two of my grandsons are my son's sons.
Nice.
And then the other two, the other three, actually, the two boys and the granddaughter are actually from my bonus daughters. Okay. So I have a nice rounded family and it's been rewarding. And we moved here to Norristown. We're living in Norristown now.
Wonderful.
Moved here to Norristown from North Carolina, where my husband was pursuing his career. And I was on a son's journey, you know, to make sure that, you know, he got the best that he could get out of his education and what would be best for us all in general. So that's how we ended up here in Norristown.
Awesome. Yeah. So how has your stint been in Norristown before we jump into your business?
Well, you know, Norristown, well, originally we moved to Philadelphia.
Okay.
I could not deal with that. Leaving from Durham,
New
North
York.
Carolina.
Okay.
From Durham. If I had left from New York coming to Philly, it would have been a little bit different.
A good transition.
But I was living, in the South and then coming up to the North in Philadelphia. I found that the people were just, the dynamics of people were just so drastically different.
Absolutely.
And so I wanted it to be slowed down. Not that it was a bad thing, because, you know, I love Philly and I have plenty of friends there. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't for me at that particular time.
Understood.
So we decided, I told my husband, listen, if you can't find something on the outskirts, then I'm going back to the South.
Okay.
And so we found Norristown, where he was working, where he had gotten a job. So we moved closer for his work situation. And plus, it was just a better transition for me coming from the South, coming to Norristown. It was just better.
Straight in the middle, right? Not too busy, not too slow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So now tell us more about your mission and your personal journey. What influenced you to start Mothers with Sons?
What really influenced me is that I am I have three brothers.
Okay.
Okay. And my father passed away when I was like 11 years old.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And that's pretty, back in the late 60s and 70s, that's pretty drastic.
Mm-hmm.
Where you really did see a more two-family homes, two-parent home, where I was brought up in New York, okay? So most of our families had both parents. My father happened to be the first one, actually, that passed away in our neighborhood. Oh. And we were very young. He wasn't that old. And so what ended up happening was that my mother had now three boys and me.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
Big difference, okay? Moved us to North Carolina because it was definitely much harder, more difficult for her in New York, okay, to have those three children, you know, four children without my father now. And she felt the stronger support would be with her family. So that's what we did. We moved back to North Carolina. So with that being that, I watched a lot of my brother's journeys. You know, I watched what they went through. I watched the unspokenness about what they felt losing their father at such a young age. I watched how that played out in their lives, on their journeys that they were going on. And, you know, although we were okay, we were upper middle class. So we had, like, my mother could say, okay, I'm going to buy them mini bikes, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do, you know, whatever she could possibly do, that she felt that she was going to meet them where that might fill some void.
Absolutely.
And it really didn't. As I, you know, as I grew up and became a mother of my own, I realized that, okay, that really didn't do it. We really should have dealt with where all their trauma or their hurt derived from. Whereas they talk to me all the time about how I felt.
Because you're the sister.
And I'm the girl. You see what I'm saying? And I watched my brothers go on their journeys and how they affected other people in their lives, not realizing that they were that important, or the value they brought, their presence brought, that they didn't understand that you are really you affect your mother if you get in trouble and you end up in jail. You know what I mean? You affect, you know, your the household if you decide you're going to drop out of high school, whereas they may have thought it wasn't a big deal.
It didn't matter.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
My oldest brother who went to the army, you know, just trying to figure out, you know, okay, let me give this a try. So they went on these journeys that I never even thought about going on as a daughter.
Okay.
And who was really hearing them? Who was really talking to them? Or was everything just always blamed on them? You know what I mean? And so, whereas with me, I mean, you look at my journey and there was always a reason for what may, oh, it's because, maybe because her father passed away early, or, you know, he wasn't there. She didn't, you know, or maybe it was because her mother was traveling a lot. And you see, so it was more excuses made for me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Excusable. That's it. And whereas I felt, I look at it and I said, boy, my brothers must have been very alone, you know, as they were going through what they were going through. And they must have really felt like, you know, no one's hearing us. And they turned to things. Now, they ultimately turned out okay. Okay,
awesome.
Okay. You know, they still had some, but it was a hard journey for them. So when I really looked around and I looked at it, it's not uncommon. It is not uncommon as I started dating, I started realizing, I seen the likeness of what my brothers were.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I do.
When I went on job, you know, to work on different companies, I still seen similarities about, you know, where no one was hearing, nobody, you know, no one was really focusing on the fact that they are on a journey that we're ignoring. You know, when I go to sports, you know, I pay attention, like in sports with sons involved in sport, basketball, football, whatever. You know, you see the frustration sometimes that could come out in sports and stuff. Is it really all about sports or something else is going on? Is that all real passion for the sport?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there something? Because their journey rarely gets told, you know? How many of them really write a biography about themselves? Most biographies are written by women, primarily because I learned that sons don't like to tell their journey like
to
that.
To express themselves.
Yeah. So you have this silence that is going on that, you know, when I started Mothers with Sons, I started saying, I really want to know what you're thinking. I really want to know. So, for instance, I did Art on a Son's Wall. That's
okay.
An event I would host.
Okay.
And Mothers with Sons, the organization, would host. And what the premise of that was that son, every son that we knew that was going to participate just found a piece of art that was in their house that really inspired them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it could have been the picture that's on your wall that you see every day, and you not know how much that inspired your husband when he looked at it, or what he was thinking when he looked at that picture. And so when we did this art on the sun wall, it's really kind of funny because all kinds of things were on exhibit.
I can imagine.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like anything from a sock to a, you know, to a piece of a picture. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just anything that they seen as art. And then they had this opportunity to narrate it. Okay. And we were standing there like, wow, all of that in that? And, you know, some of us was like, we've seen that all the time and never even got all of that out of
it. Never thought about
exactly.
it that way.
Exactly. You see, so it started to make me realize that they really have, a son really has a story to tell. And a lot of times, unless given that space to tell it, mm-hmm. you don't get that deep into them to know what's in them. So that Arts on the Sun Wall was one way of doing that. And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, some of it we could laugh. Some of it was, we could cry, you know, like, and not cry because we're not, but cry of the fact that, you know, they made it to this point.
It's a breakthrough.
They've
gotten to a point where this is something that may have been negative or at another time brought pain, but we're rejoicing. And I do understand a good cry that, you know, this we are past this point. But I want to ask a question because it keeps popping up in my mind. Why do we, and I'm not sure about other cultures, but in the Black family, we raise our daughters and we love our sons. And there is power in that statement, and it happens over and over again. And I believe a lot of what you're saying in this need for sons to be heard is because of that exact sentiment.
Yeah.
Where do we get that from, and how does that happen in our culture?
I think that sometimes, oftentimes, we're intimidated to ask our sons the real questions, the difficult things, to have the difficult conversations. And if a father is a son too. So if you, every now and then you get that father who is very nurturing, mm-hmm. who will give his son that kind of nurturing where they can really have those conversations. But a lot of times we do not want to sit down and have those difficult conversations. You know what I'm saying?
So I do and I don't, because my son says that I am a helicopter mom and I am super ultra invasive.
Okay.
So, and it doesn't bother me because I feel like when I see things happen out in the world, and I'm just going to use this as an example, like the school shootings and the parents, this child has lived in this house, they have gotten and accumulated these weapons, they have formulated this plan, and these people knew nothing about that.
Yes.
So when he says I'm ultra invasive, I'll take that baby, because what's under this bed? What's in this pillow? Yes. Who are you talking to? Yes. What you like, what you don't
Absolutely.
I feel so far removed from that. I want to be in your world. I want to understand where you're coming from. So I'm saying yes and no, because I don't know any other way
is it conversation, or is it, does he see, you know, I mean,
it's conversation
because
I want to know,
accusatory, you know. So some sons automatically, but that's what I mean by we back off. I think it's a good thing that you keep kind of push yourself in, because a lot of, that's what I mean by we become intimidated.
Okay.
Because they come at us like, why are you always all hovering over me
and I don't know and don't care, because I'm still going to keep asking the questions. Exactly. I don't know,
it takes more energy, more strength, and more courage for us at, and that's even whether you're a girlfriend or mother or aunt, or anytime when it comes down to the male factor, our sons, it takes more strength to be able to keep pressing in, you know what I mean, than to retreat and say, okay, I guess it's okay.
Just leave it alone.
And that's absolutely right, because that's why we're here in our society now, that parents don't know what's in their houses, because they get tired, they get worn out with this, you know, with a son that gets frustrated because you're asking these questions and they say, you're invasive, you're this, you're that.
You're
in
my house.
Right, but I just need to know.
Yeah, what?
And plus it's healthy. And plus, it's healthy. It's healthy to cause your son, to cause a son to have conversation. It's healthy.
Also with an adult and with a female.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that from the dynamics of being a single family household, although I try to put proper and what I think are ideological male figures in his life. Mothers and sons is where this thing starts, baby. Yes. It's always going to be me and you.
Yeah.
So if I can't talk to you, I don't understand what I'm doing as a parent.
Exactly. And that one thing mothers with sons, we always would say, is that find the right mentors for your son. You know what I mean?
That's hard, part
of
though.
That's part of the journey. Again, you know, that's why I say we ready to retreat so quickly instead of saying it has to be someone out here that could be, I mean, whether it's a pastor or a youth leader or the, you know, a track coach, and interview that person.
I was going to say, because you look at the person's position, yeah, and you look at what you, and again, only because I just watched the craziest, yes, stories last night on TV, yeah, about serial killers and how they were a pillar part of the community. And I'm not saying that against anyone. Right. I'm just saying it is hard to find mentors, yes, right now.
You have to do the interviewing. You have to have this discernment. And all of that happens because you built a strong relationship with your son. Your discernment gets stronger as your relationship with your son gets stronger. And I'm going to move from the place of a son. I'm just going to say, a husband is still a son. Absolutely. So that relationship gets stronger the more you have that conversation with him. And still yet, there might be some resistance about certain topics and certain things that I don't see the need that we need to talk about it. But yeah, because what's going to happen is my discernment is going to get stronger on how to help you on the journey. And you're also going to learn some things about me in this relationship. You know, awesome. You follow it. Because as girl, you have a best girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I have a best girlfriend. We're always learning each other.
That's right.
And you know how we learn each other? We're always talking.
Conversation.
And,
you know,
and sometimes it's hang the phone up on each other. Sometimes it's just we're just totally not going to agree on something. But the whole thing is we're learning each other. And that's what makes our relationship so tight. You know, I know some sons, I say, you have a best friend. They're like, oh, yeah, I do. And you can ask them basic questions. Oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't get in there. But mm-hmm. Then that's not a best friend.
Yeah.
You know, like you really talk. You really strengthen relationship. And that's what Mothers with Sons is about, going on this journey of a son. And we look at it from the premise of the nurturing of a mother. You know what I mean?
I do.
And so as we continue to build relationship based on nurturing, then our hope is that a son will feel secure. He'll feel...
He has a village now.
Yeah.
He has a place. Yeah. He is important. And I think he can be heard.
Especially in our culture, it's so important. And I always tell young girls in high school and stuff when they're going to the prom, I said, be a friend to the mother. Okay, be a friend to the mother. And so what I'm saying is don't, you can talk him out of what he might want to do,
mm-hmm,
okay, instead of joining him in it.
Absolutely.
You know, especially when you know it might lead to y'all not getting, being able to go to college because mm-hmm. y'all decided one night y'all mm-hmm. just wanted to be you and you,
hang out.
Yes. Exactly.
We're gonna do this.
You know, so I'm always telling the daughters, I'm like, be a friend to the mother, you know, be a sister, a younger sister to his mom. And they'll say, what do you mean, Miss Ivy? I said, okay. You know, I said, because the thing is that she has plans for her son.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's nothing against you. Yeah. And part of, you know, part of their future and part of their family value is based on what she poured into him and the hopes and dreams she has for him. So if you come along and interrupt that, it's going to eventually, and eventually it's going to backfire on you because he's... When a son wants to look for someone to blame in relationship that didn't go right,
mm-hmm.
okay, and especially if they are teenage fathers or whatever, the first thing they do is they start to remember what mom told them. Mm-hmm. And then who do they blame for disobeying their mother? They blame the girl that's sitting there. And that's not true, but oftentimes that's what happens. And then they get angry, they get bitter, they feel like their future could have been better if you hadn't done, you know, that kind of stuff. So I try to warn, you know, daughters, don't put yourself in that situation. It's mm-hmm. just a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, and it's going to slow you down as well. So, you know, we're on this journey with them, and it's the unspoken journey because a lot of times they're not going to tell us a lot of things.
This is true. Yeah. So what advice would you give to mothers and sons navigating a difficult time in life? Their circumstances are changing. How can you help them?
Well, I always say this, is that a mother should always never abandon her position. Okay? So difficult things are going to happen. Still be the mother. Still hold that title. That is your space, okay? And so look at it this way. I had a large population at one time where mothers were dealing with sons that were going to prison.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were able to handle it and just say, I'm not going there to see him. Others was like, oh my goodness, what should I do? I'm embarrassed. My whole answer to them each time was be his mother. Okay, so that means whether he's in jail or not, there are times you just got to say no and mean no. you know?
Yes.
And it's going to be hard because, okay, he may be in prison. He wants money on his books or whatever. It's like, no, not this week. You know, no. I mean, it's no different than if he wasn't in prison, he knocking on your door and say, hey, mom, I messed up and I played, you know, I gambled my money away. Can you give me gas? No. You know,
friend.
So, and that's what I mean by just hold your position. Don't back down, because what happens is when you back down and if you become weak under that kind of pressure, then you're not going to be able to help him move forward. You're not. But you become in that vicious cycle. You know, and I can't speak from it from a daughter because it's mother's with son, but I do know those things affect daughters.
Okay.
Because if you have a daughter looking at the way you're handling it and they think that, oh, that's the way I handle relationships.
And manage my son too.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
More
or the boyfriend or
the,
you know, yeah. So it's a vicious cycle. You know what I mean? But then the whole thing is this, that, but then how do I express love? Learn how to express love that is not predicated to tangible things. And I think you should always do that. You know what I mean? So I think that one thing, now this is me personally.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I think that a son picks up anger on real fast is verbally. So if they're around in a household where it's always the cursing, the fighting and yelling, you know what I mean? Even it could be a quiet son, because you got to imagine, we got to admit it. Males are built differently from us.
Mm-hmm.
They you know, they have muscles that we don't have. And they have muscles where they don't even have to exercise that much. Well, we have to exercise to work it, right?
In my household right now, my son is cut off. And I'm like, what is this? You're developing this and this and this.
And it comes, right?
Yeah.
It comes. Just like it comes for us in a different way.
Yes.
You know?
I'd like to
that
not they be so
like,
cut
but
off.
We don't always like
part.
It, you know. But but the thing is that they're built differently. And so they have this strength. They have the ability to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that you're building a relationship with them that is going to speak to them, to have the discipline that they need to refrain from using it the wrong way.
Okay.
You know, so you don't end up with a son getting phone calls where your son done beat up this girl or did this. You know what I mean?
Family
that needs to be really dealt with, you know? And oftentimes, it's coming from something deeper, you know?
It's the household.
Yeah.
And
a
lot of
what they're being exposed to. Or even if it's not the household, I'm going to say that. It's who they're hanging,
the
where they're going.
I was
that's surrounding.
Say, what,
because
what
I know a lot of great families, you know what I mean? And
who,
I know they're more
things
exactly,
like that going on in their household.
And
you know,
all of a sudden, it's like, what happened to him?
Yeah.
You know? But what happened was that while he was on his journey, he picked up what he thought was cool.
What he thought was
the way he was being accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And it became part of his nature. And then you end up with this situation you don't know how to deal
that's
with.
That's catastrophic.
It. So that's why I said, go on the journey with him.
Okay.
Go on the journey. Speak truth to power that, you know, I don't think that's going to be a good idea. That's not going to work out for you in
not
your personality,
your
the way you're built.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work out for you. Because you also have, you see, some sons that can hang out all the time with the bad boys and never, and still go to college, become lawyers. So it just depends. You need to know your son. You need to, that's why I say, I applaud you for not backing away.
Oh, yeah, I'm always going to be nosy.
I applaud you, and I encourage mother, don't back away just because they start flexing on you and stuff, and, you know, you always, and their voice starts to get a little deep.
And you're getting a little bit taller,
and
that's
okay.
And
their voices get a little deeper, and they're sitting over here, like,
I'm sorry, who you talking to?
Yeah, right.
And it's funny, too, because it's kind of like an old school way of thinking.
Yeah.
I always tell my son, you know, don't go out there and embarrass me because you know your mom's a gangster.
Yeah,
I want to come out there and do gangster things.
Right.
So one day he says to me, Mom, I can't wait till I can show you my gangster. I said, where you gonna show it to me, from the floor? And he is like, what? I said, because the moment you think you're gonna get gangster with me, the very next moment you will find out how comfortable the floor is.
Yeah.
So even in their minds though, in growing up and developing, they want to be heard as I am saying I'm
but
speaking.
But he might like that part of you.
I think the gangster part
might be an
I think that helps.
I think he might be a little intrigued. So maybe you need to soften up.
And use different verbiage. I'm not really adventurous.
Right.
I say that to scare
that
you.
That might be intriguing to him. You know what I'm
it's
saying?
It's totally backfire on me. Yeah. Yes, you're absolutely right. You're like,
I kind of like mom like this. Yeah. You know, like,
I know.
We could be this together, you know. Yeah, we could be cooking. You know. Anyway. And I only say that because I had that situation with my son, and I said, oh, wait a minute. That's not the part of him that I want him, you know, because, I mean, they zone in on certain things,
and
you know, and like I said, strength is different for them. You know, they see it differently.
It's just him and I, and that's I'm dynamic. So yeah. Sometimes I think we trade off mother and son for friends. And I have to remind him that as much as I love you as a friend, I'm not your friend. Right. I am your mom. Right. But he sometimes gets confused because I'm really all you know.
Yeah.
So when I'm being playful and, oh, your mom's a gangster, like you're saying, it may be something that's intriguing, but I have to make sure I'm sending the right message. So I'm actually glad we had this conversation. I never thought about it that way. I want my child running around thinking he's a gangster.
Exactly.
But tell me how some of your experiencing in helping mothers and sons who need a second chance have helped you and them as well.
We did a gospel cabaret one time.
Okay.
And we brought in a lot of gospel artists and things like that. That's nice. And to be able to touch, and we brought in a comedian and everything so that we can offer that setting, okay, that was family friendly.
Nice.
Okay, so everybody brought their own food. We set it up real nicely. So whereas we had, you know, the lights were dimmed and the music was going and everything. And it was, and some of it was inspirational music, not all gospel, but the premise again was that these things I derived that because I also seen that there is a lack of things that will bring like family, especially mothers with sons, to a place where they could just sit for an evening and have a really good time and be able to say, you know, this is something we literally did together. And not just us, but there were others there.
Mothers and sons.
Mm-hmm. And so these things have helped me to be able to deal with some of the my own issues as being a mother with a son and with grandsons. You know, it's taught me to be more patient and to look for avenues that avenues where I can meet them where they are, where I don't have to compromise. And then I'm able to share that with others, you know? And I said, okay, I tried this and it worked. It really worked. And I've had a lot of success with, you know, different families, you know, because it's not just about mothers, it's about families. Different families come back and say, you know, that really worked. Thank you for that advice. And it went really well. This past school year ended, and we did some little thank you to some of the graduates where we gave gift cards or bank checks to them. And so we're always looking a way to give back, you know, in that premise. But it doesn't always necessarily have to be a son. It could be another mother with a son. It could be a girlfriend, okay? It could be. So we look to strengthen relationships. That's the whole premise. And we just do it from the viewpoint of a mother's nurturing, where that all began, you know,
absolutely,
if we could just keep carrying that on, you know. So in some cases, again, I remember I had this one that really was difficult, whereas the son had killed someone. He did. And his mother was just so torn up.
Devastated, I can imagine.
Devastated. And she knew that it was him and it had happened. And she just did not know, like, what do I do? Everybody else has turned on him. What do I do? And again, you know, I said, you're going to be his mother. I said, don't abandon it. You know, I believe spiritually that God strengthens, you know, us for these type of journeys, these type of walk, when nobody else is going to walk with us. You know, I believe God will. So I said, so you're going to be that person, because right now he has nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
So we don't want that to happen. We know, you know, it's not a time that I'm not thinking about my friends or my neighbors and stuff. I see their sons and stuff, and I'm like, God, just cover them, keep them. You know what I mean? Like, help them to, you know, be able to make, because I know it's rough out here, and I know sometimes they're going without being heard, you know? So it has helped me a lot through Mothers with Sons. I have been a student of Mothers with Sons and the things we have done. I have been a student of that. And for me, it's made me a better person in relationship and relating to exactly how much a son really brings to the table, other than sports, other than just a paycheck. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So you're setting this man up for the next head of the household. Yeah. You're setting up your lineage. You're setting up, you know, what will the future be?
And I'm doing someone's daughter a favor.
That, and I say that all the time. She better be thanking me. She don't know what I'm doing behind the scenes to get this one ready. And it's taking a lot right now.
Right.
So to the future, Mrs. Palmer, girl, you owe me.
Yes. I want him to really be a king to his queen, you know what I mean? So,
absolutely.
Yeah, and so, and it's helped me. And again, that doesn't mean there's not things that go wrong or things I wish could have been differently in my own personal life. But because of those things, I know the things that are probable that could happen in someone else's life. So rather than pointing fingers and saying, oh, you messed up, no, stuff happens.
Okay.
You know, stuff happens.
I love it. I love it. Tell people how to get connected with you and your organization.
Oh, definitely, definitely. You can always, number one thing, you can always email me.
Okay.
And I will also give you some more information where that, just in case they do reach out to you.
Yes.
Where you can tell them, but you can definitely email me at evangivory@gmail.com. We are overhauling our website for Mothers with Sons at this time. So that's going to be getting ready to be set out as well. But we will be doing different events. Okay. Matter of fact, Mothers with Sons will be partnering with NAACP in Norristown here.
I was going to ask you about your work with the NAACP.
Yes, another one of my passions.
Okay.
And I have, on a national level, I have a passion for the mission of the NAACP. And with that being said, in Norristown, we're up and we're moving. And we have an event coming up on October the 25th.
Nice. We'll see events so I can be there.
Oh, yes, yes. That is Literacy Cavalcade, meaning that we are doing a procession of celebrating literacy in our community.
Okay.
And we have a young author that's going to be coming to, I think she's 7 or 8 years old.
Oh, my.
And she wrote a book, you know. And we have a spoken word person. We have local authors that are coming in. We have one that's going to teach you, show you how you can write your own book, so I mean, they're going to be set up there, but the premise of this whole thing is that we celebrate the fact that we have opportunity and a privilege that was one time held back from us. We should celebrate now. Literacy is a big thing. It ties into voting. It ties into education. It ties into your health. Incarceration. Mm-hmm. It does.
It really does. We talked about that on another show.
Yeah, and people don't see that.
It's a pipeline.
You know? Yes, absolutely. So if you don't understand what you're reading, can't comprehend it, think about how much you're going to get left behind, especially within the society we're in today. You know, where they're doing so much coding now that you have to stay on top of being used to reading. And I had said to you, I should not say just text me. We should just be emailing, because email ties into literacy. It keeps us, you know, in the practice of reading and
my
responding.
Mind working so that I'm not relying on hitting the button and speaking what I want you to hear, which it never does anyway.
Absolutely.
Where if I have to formally do this and I rewrote it, I'm like, oh, okay, this sounds good. Let me go ahead
absolutely,
and send this.
Absolutely. So please come and be with us on it. It's going to be at Mount Zion on Willow Street.
Nice in Norristown, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
What time does the event start?
It's going to start at 2 o'clock from 2 to 5.
Nice.
And we are going to have some nice little surprises. We're going to have some fun that day.
Amazing.
So please just come out. It's a celebration. It's not just about reading. You can go to the library. You can buy a book. But it's about us coming together and acknowledging the fact that this is something that we have to cultivate and be proud of the fact that we have this privilege and at our fingertips knowledge if we just read.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we can help each other.
And what was it? And I can't remember how the phrase goes, but they say if you want to keep a person from learning something, put it in a book. And it's that powerful.
It really is. It really is. So getting back to the basics and literacy, you know, to help us to motivate our young people more, because, you know, everything's handheld, like you said. And we're losing that knack for just being able to pick
sit
up a book
still and read a book, and myself
and included. Let your imagination grow healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, read something other, because as you can see, the news, where it takes us to a negative place every day,
every time, all the time. Yeah. Where you could free your mind
exactly
and read fiction.
Yeah, you could go pick ahead out what you want going into your mind when it's a book.
Filter.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. So please come out and be with us on that day. We plan to have some little snacks and different things, a Q&A, and we're just going to have a good time being together and knowing that we have a lot of work that needs to be done within the Norristown community surrounding voting and education and all those things. And a lot of that starts with literacy.
Tell us how to become more active with the NAACP of Norristown.
We have a Facebook page.
Okay.
And our president is President Terry Ann Salisbury. She is the president now, the acting president now.
Okay.
And on that Facebook page, it will give you information as to how you can join. You can also go onto the national page.
Okay.
But you must pick Norristown. Okay. And reach out to me at that same email address. You can reach out to me if there are any questions about that, or leave us a message even on our Facebook page.
Okay.
Also, there's a religious affairs Facebook page for the NAACP in Norristown.
Okay.
You can also leave a question there as well.
Awesome.
Or just tag us, message us, however you can. Just do it.
Okay.
Just do it. Become a part of that mission. It's very important now. Numbers mean something.
Oh, they do.
Everybody can't come to all the meetings. Everyone can't be on every committee or involved in every little thing we do. But what it does say is that we are woke and that our numbers are continuously to increase for the support of the mission of the NAACP for equality. So let's just make sure we're doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if you had to leave us with a final word of inspiration, yeah, what would that be?
That word would be continue to strengthen relationships.
Okay.
Okay. Don't make sure that, and when I say strengthen relationship, from whatever avenue you can, whether it's cooking together, whether it's cleaning together, whether it's going to a movie, going to church, wherever it is, it work on strengthening relationship, because that is so important in the times we are living in now. Is that the relationships that we do have, that we invest in, make sure that they're strong.
I like that.
There's a lot out here that's doing away with marriage. Yeah.
It's the friendships, kinships.
In our culture, everywhere. Yeah. So that would be my word of inspiration, strengthen relationships.
Thank you. You have been an amazing guest, and I look forward to attending your event on October 25th.
Yes.
Mount Zion Church, Norristown.
That's right.
2 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Yes.
Awesome. I'll see you then.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
All right.
Now, as Gizzy Gray said, we got to do one thing.
Yes.
So, and my interview with you, so you know I'm famous for the bim, 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 bim.
Oh, okay.
So on the count of three, you got to give me a bim, 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 bim.
Okay.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3.
Bam, 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 bam.
All right, lady. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Uncensored Inspiration. Please remember to like, share, follow, and subscribe. All the things that help us to serve the community to speak freely and think boldly. Ciao for now.